This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
Thanks for joining us once again here on the eHealth Radio Network. This is your host, Eric Michaels. eHealth Radio gives you the most current health information, news, and advice featuring some of the leading innovators in healthcare and wellness who are changing healthcare as we know it. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. Today on the program, we have David Elzey. He is the CEO of Torque 3, an innovative stroke rehabilitation program using VR and motion simulation technology. And Mr. Elzey, thanks for joining us here today.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Well, you're certainly more than welcome and looking forward to hearing all the details on Torque 3. So a great place to start. Tell us about the genesis of Torque 3 to kick things off.
Yeah, like a lot of startups, we started out in one direction and then found something about our technology along the way that had us pivot. And we were no different. We were starting out with a consumer fitness product to try to help find a way to overcome that primal sort of instinct to move less, eat more, conservation, and using play. And so we were looking at deeply immersive solutions. That's my background. Along the way, one of our science advisors, Dr. Walter Greenleaf, pointed out that we had just sort of accidentally developed a phenomenally good neural rehabilitation platform. So we pursued that, at least in research, and then tried to find a way to make a business case for it. Once we did that, and honestly, once I started learning more about the market and meeting individuals that had had stroke or TBIs, talking to the rehabilitation specialists, the subject matter experts in that field, it really became sort of a project of passion to take this solution and build up a hypothesis that we could work toward that we'll be doing very soon.
Yeah, thanks for sharing some of the background and genesis of Torque 3. It's always interesting to hear the backstory on startups, so good stuff there. Tell us, getting back to some of the information that listeners would be curious about, how does this differ from other stroke rehabilitation methods?
Yeah, and this is one of those things where it's going to be, it's the 10,000 words to describe that single picture. But what we have done is we've created a simulation that provides intense, deeply immersive scenario for the patient. Now, in this simulation, they see themselves. They actually see themselves represented as an android inside a quadricycle. So it's a recumbent four-wheeled cycle. They have the ability to steer. And so when they look out, there's this incredibly rich, detailed world, something you wouldn't expect to see in, say, a VR solution. But because we are a niche product, we could focus on, instead of, what all the different computers and headsets and people may be using, we can focus on our specific hardware and capabilities, which are all very high-end for this, to produce these very deeply rich simulations. Simulation visually and oddly. So you have the typical VR, I can look around, I have 3D vision, I have 3D audio, and we take advantage of that. And then on top of that, because you're sitting in a robotic simulator that has full motion simulation in addition, so as you start to pedal, you actually feel the subtle G-forces of movement. You feel the texture of the ground vibrating through the pedals, and you feel the appropriate amount of resistance as you build up inertia. You feel that inertia. As a matter of fact, if you stop pedaling, you actually feel as if you're coasting. So the steering all has all the appropriate physics applied to it, so it feels natural when you're steering. You get that correct feedback. And on top of that, you have wind simulation and scent simulation. So you feel the wind against your body, your face. You also smell the environment as appropriate to what you're seeing. So if you smell your pine trees as you go through the forest, slowly blends out to, say, a meadow as you pass through it. Or maybe it's a mix of pine and water, sort of musty water smell as you go through by a waterfall in a forest, these types of things. So the idea of that deeply immersive. Now, that's just sort of the station, that sort of setup that we need to actually pull off our hypothesis, which is that if I can get you to suspend your disbelief, then I can introduce this perception of risk, the illusion that you're at risk, not fear, but risk. And therefore, any task you do during a task-oriented therapy, which you would be doing virtually, that there carries an additional urgency and importance. And this is critical for our hypothesis on how to enhance or improve neuroplasticity in the patient to get better outcomes. And of course, because it's all virtual, we can check all the other boxes of having all the tasks being continually novel, continually challenging, and have meaningful rewards. So we did a lot of work up front to get to a person to a state of mind that we can introduce them into our key hypothesis, which is the perception of risk to enhance neuroplasticity.
Yeah, I'd say those are some strong differentiators right there. Thanks for sharing that, and that is quite interesting as well. Tell us, if you would, about task-oriented therapy. Inform us a little on that.
Well, task-oriented therapy's been around for a while, but it's very limited. So ours is called TOT Plus, Task-Oriented Therapy Plus, and it goes back to that introduction of risk. But on top of that, if you can imagine going into the clinic for task-oriented therapy, you may go to their mock-up of a kitchen and rearrange some cans, which is great the first time. You may sit at a table and put pegs in holes, things like this. This becomes very repetitive very quickly. They can't keep it novel or challenging. And they're limited in space, and they certainly can't introduce they can't do certain things because of your impairments. Now, one thing that we do with ours is, because we have the robotics already built into it, we actually compensate for impairments, for primarily hemiplegia, by doing what we call asymmetrical compensation. So if your left side is unimpaired and your right side is impaired, we pull intent, as in your left side becomes the control side. So we say, okay, if the left side's trying to do this, then we compensate the impaired side to make it match what you're trying to do. It's a lot of sensors, a lot of computing, a lot of algorithms to pull this off. But in the end, what you end up is the patient feels as if they're unimpaired when they're actually going through task-oriented therapy, so that they can actually do the therapies we need them to do, as opposed to struggling and being frustrated with their own impairments. So again, we're not trying to treat muscles, we're trying to treat the brain. So it doesn't have to be, nobody needs to struggle with this beyond whatever the therapist sets it at. So the therapist has the full range of controls of how much to compensate.
Well, we certainly do appreciate your visit and for what you do in the space today. We're speaking with Mr. David Elze. He is the CEO of Torque 3, an innovative stroke rehabilitation program using VR and motion simulation technology, and he's joined us here today on eHealth Radio's Rehab Info and Technology Channels, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, continuing on, when are you running Torque 3's Alpha Lab?
Alpha Lab is slotted to begin in August. Fingers are crossed here. Obviously, we have a fresh prototype that's the first patient-ready prototype in the shop right now that's going through the ringer. Everybody here is working long hours to make it happen. So we're projecting. This is a lot like, game development or something, and you can't release it until it's ready. Same thing. So we're projecting that we will, the 1st of August, that we'll start our first batch of individuals. We currently have a small wait list. We're building that wait list up for individuals who want to be part of that program. And then we'll be running 6 months or something of testing the equipment to find out what it does. If people get better outcomes, that's great. We're not actually running trials right now. We're not trying to prove that level of the hypothesis. We're really just trying to validate our technological approach, the stability of our equipment, reliability, safety, all these issues going through, so that we can send it out to a broader pilot program in the follow-on. So that's going to be starting. We're really excited about that. We've had a lot of stroke survivors in on single sessions. It's going to be really interesting to see their opinions after using it 3 to 5 times a week for whatever period of time they choose to be a part of the program.
Now, Mr. Elze, I'm sure listeners would be curious as well. Who are the candidates that would most likely benefit the most from Torque 3?
Well, I mean, initially, we're going to be fairly restrictive. The machine is designed to take anybody who can at least move one of their legs and one of their arms, so that we have some idea of the intent of the patient and at any level. But given that, we want to start off with some people who are probably able to walk with assistance, even help somebody's assistance or a walker, and go, I don't know, 10, 20 feet at a minimum type of things. And you know, obviously individuals who are have such severe vision impairment or things like that wouldn't really qualify. Oh, we're also, in the initial, we're restricting it to TBI and to stroke, essentially brain damage, either way you get that. However, the potential past our initial testing when we're trying to really sort of focus on the machine is very broad. I mean, it could go to a neurodegenerative treatment as well. You know, we have people who are very interested in Parkinson's. We have one we have a company that is looking to license it for the treatment of autism. And of course, it would make a phenomenal just rehabilitation system as well, that for ortho rehabilitation, return to sport, surgery recovery, those types of things. So it has a very broad application outside of stroke and TBI. We're just sort of taking our, you know, a step-by-step approach in how we go to this and sort of focusing on one thing at a time. We're actually taking on what we think is the most difficult, the most challenging group right now, which is also getting some of the worst results out there. I mean, stroke and TBI survivors are just not recovering with the current approaches.
Just another way technology is making a difference in the health and healthcare space. We really do appreciate your joining us here today to introduce Torque 3 and the technology with our audience. Before you go in conclusion, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention as we do conclude today?
Yeah, I think that, like you said, it's phenomenal that these technologies are available. I would really like to see more companies out there looking at, you know, research that's been done over the last 50 years, but the research hasn't had the technology to enact it before. I mean, they were doing research on neuroplasticity back in, you know, in the 70s that was phenomenal. But they didn't have, you know, they were showing us, basically giving us a roadmap on how to accomplish this without having the technology at the time to do it. And it would be really good, I think, if a lot of the researchers out there would maybe even sort of point at that, maybe even get that out there. I think a lot more companies like ours could be looking and saying, well, if, you know, we could do that, we can take and build the thing that you already shown should work. Still a hypothesis at this point because, you know, the research was done with different equipment, but it should be a good, safer direction to really help a lot more people forward if some companies can do that.
Once again, Mr. Elzey, we really do appreciate your time and all the insight and information shared here today on behalf of Torque 3. Where can listeners get more information?
They can just head to our website. I highly recommend, just like the home page of our website, the first thing it does is open up a video of a physical therapist from, I think he's from Idaho, doing a test ride, having a great time at a conference on one of our engineering prototypes. And I think they can just learn a lot just by watching that individual ride. It clicks at that point. It's very intuitive. You understand it just by watching somebody else do it. So yeah, torque3.com, and just take a look there. Everything, we have a lot there. We have a very thorough blog with a lot of information from our medical staff writing stuff up, some great white papers written by our chief science officer, just a lot of information there.
And of course, we'll leave that link within the show notes of this broadcast, as we always do. Mr. Elzey, all the best, and thanks again for joining us here today on the Health Radio.
Thank you, Eric. I appreciate your time, too.
Again, we've been speaking with Mr. David Elzey. He is the CEO of Torque 3, an innovative stroke rehabilitation program using VR and motion simulation technology. And for all the details, simply visit torque3.com. And again, this has been your host, Eric Michaels, and we do thank you for your continued support of the eHealth Radio Network. Join us again soon for another episode that will help further expand your knowledge on those things that are important to your health and wellness. For more eHealth Radio reports, we invite you to visit our main radio channel site at eHealthRadioNetwork.com. And as always, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.